Well, I had the privilege of playing sports my entire life. It started in the neighborhood. My parents in 1974 moved into a little neighborhood in Westfield, Massachusetts, which only a few people in here, a couple of us know where that is, amen. And little middle-class neighborhood. My dad was a machinist. There was other folks there that were welders or worked at a bank. And what happened was this little middle-class neighborhood sprung up, and consequently young families moved in there. And when you have young families, you have a plethora of young children. And now many of you will appreciate this. These were the days in summertime when mom said, get out. Come back for lunch. And then I'd come back when the streetlights come on. And all God's people said, there was none of this. If it was this, it was picking through things like my dad said, sort those nails. Amen. And I went, okay. Amen. But there was no video games or anything. We went out, and there was about 25 of us in our neighborhood. And in the summertime, we played stickball. How many of you remember stickball? Amen. Big broomstick. I wonder how you ever got a hit with that thing. Amen. Amen. And then, of course, we graduated to actual real baseball. And then in the fall and in the wintertime, it was street football. And we always played with the older kids. And they told us when we were young, hey, listen, you want to go on the grass. Because it's tackle on the grass, but it's two-hand touch on this street. And we thought, well, what do you mean? Because two-hand touch went poof, right down, and you went and slid and got a road rash. But if you went and you were tough, amen, you got down there and played. And then, of course, you graduate to Little League Baseball. I remember Little League Baseball. I just thought that was the greatest thing. And the town where I come from was a big Little League town, and they have a parade from City Hall down to the fields. And everybody would be with their teams, and we'd be all be in our uniforms marching. I saw a picture of myself the other day. I said, oh my goodness, did I really ever look like that? Amen. But I did. Amen. Had a big teeth, and the hat was over like this. Everybody's got one of those pictures. Amen. And then in the fall time, we would play soccer. I began to start to play soccer, and I played goalie and went through all the youth years and then into high school, played soccer. And then in the fall, and then basketball in the winter, and baseball in the summer, and kept that going. And even after high school ended, I played soccer on a travel team, and it was great. We played all over, went out to Montreal, Canada, and had a tournament against these other huge companies, and so much fun. And then I went to Bible college, and actually one summer while I was in Bible college, I played fast pitch baseball again, and that was fun. And then I got back into softball, amen, and playing all those over the years, I appreciate there's so many lessons in team sports, and I'm going to talk about them in just a little bit. But here in our text, if I could just digress for just a moment, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you go back there with me, I promise you, I didn't say all that just to say it. I plan to use that and drive to a point here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God tells us that we are laborers together with God. I mentioned that about sports. You know, Brother Ron, in soccer, I love the assist. I love the assist. It's that guy who, he probably could score himself, but somebody's got a better opportunity. So he gives up his opportunity and gives it to that. I love that. I love in baseball, my favorite play in baseball, it's not the home run. It's not the strikeout. You know what it is? It's the sacrifice. It's the guy that says, I'll give up my turn to move this runner over. In football, I never look for the long touchdown. I never look for the guy making the great catch. You know what I look for, Brother Jared? The block. The block. The guy that clears the way so that this guy could run for glory. There's so many illustrations in team sports. God says, you know what? We're laborers together. You know what? Some people are behind the scenes people. Come on now. You don't have a ministry without behind the scenes people. And some people are out front people, and some people are on the sides people. Amen. But I think about those kind of things. And Paul's saying here, look, we're working together. And if you know the beginning of the chapter, he's dealing with divisions. There were divisions in this church. If you look at verse number 3, it says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is envying and strife and divisions among you, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And what was the division? It was, hey, I like this person's style. No, well, I don't like that person's style. I like this person's style. And Paul said, who cares? We're workers together for God. You see that a lot in team sports, people just working together. And he deals with these. But then he says in verse 10, Paul says, look, I've been given this task as a wise master builder. And he goes on in verse 11 and he says, there's only one foundation in the Christian life, and that's Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, folks, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground, sinking sand, amen. He says, you're going to build your life upon, you got to have the right foundation. And listen, you can't build your life upon the foundation if you're not saved. Amen. There's a lot of people trying to live the Christian life, but they're not even Christians. Amen. You need to be saved, and all God's people said. You need to ask Jesus to save you and allow Him to work in your life. And He says, after that, every man builds upon that foundation. And He says there in verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. And we find out later that God here is going to try every man's work, and whatever sort it is, and some are going to be rewarded, some are going to suffer loss. But then at the very end of verse number 15, it says this, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see, this, ladies and gentlemen, is what's called the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is not for sins, because sins have been judged at Calvary. See, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ here today, no matter whether you're a big sinner or a little sinner, can I give you some good news? All your sins have been forgiven. Praise God for that. How do you know that, Pastor? Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. And Brother Horsch, if you or I had to give an account for one sin, we'd have to go to hell. Thank God. The wages of sin is death. But Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. That's what He did. He paid our wage. He took our punishment in our place. But while we will not be judged for our sins, we will be judged two ways. First of all, we're judged as sons. And which son is it that the Father chasteneth not? And all God's people said, that's what happened to me yesterday. I was talking about reading that text. God smote my heart through His Word. But this judgment right here that we're looking at, He's going to judge us for our service. He's going to judge us for what we have done. And this takes place, the reason why we read Revelation chapter 4 is this takes place after the rapture of the church. In Revelation 4:1, you hear that trumpet and He says, come up hither and I'm going to show thee things which shall be hereafter. For the first Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, we read about the churches, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Thyatira, the church at Pergamos, the church at Smyrna, the church at Laodicea, amen. And we learn about these churches, and then after Revelation chapter 4, there's no more church. You know why? Because it's gone. Because it came up hither. It's been taken out. It's that beautiful time that we know of. We sung about it this morning when we see Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when God says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. Then at the end of Revelation chapter 4, in verse 10, you find these 24 elders, representative of the church, casting their crowns at his feet. So in chapter 4, verse 1, we find them being raptured up. And in chapter 4, verse 11, we find them casting their crowns. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that between chapter 4, verse 1 and chapter 4, verse 10, the judgment seat of Christ happens. And we're rewarded for our service. The Bible talks about five crowns. You can look them up on your own. The incorruptible crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25, talking about self-control. The crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. That's the soul winner's crown. The crown of life, James chapter 1, verse 12, striving against temptation. The crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4, 8, for those that are looking forward to the Lord's return. And then the last one, number five, is the crown of glory. It's for the shepherds, those that have shepherded the flock. Where do we get them? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the judgment seat of Christ, I want to just promise you this. I'm not dealing with the negative today. I'm not afraid to deal with the negative. It's just not part of my message today. Ought to make us tremble, the judgment seat of Christ. It ought to make us tremble. I think of all the times I've let God down. I think of all the times I've been selfish. I think of all the time, and you can say amen right there with me. Amen. I know you have too. But you know what the judgment seat of Christ is, Brother Ken? It's the Christian's awards banquet. It's the awards banquet. And having played sports all those times, I remember going to many awards banquets. Many awards banquets. I think of when I was a senior in high school, 1990, back when high schools were relatively new, young people, amen, 1990. Some of you like, 90? Oh my goodness, I was 1890, amen. And but I remember I went to a smaller high school and did very, very well. I was a goalie on the soccer team, captain on the basketball team, captain on the baseball team, and I thought I was going to be winning some awards that night. And I remember the feeling of thinking about it and getting ready, getting prepared, and have an old scrapbook that you can look through and, oh my goodness, look at that. I only had one chin back then. Amen. And all those other things. But I think about just a few things today. I've got seven things, and I promise you, I'll be brief. The Christian's award banquet, the judgment seat of Christ, first of all, it's a time of invitation. It's a time of invitation. You have to be invited to be part of an awards banquet. Can I tell you this? God is, I've already mentioned about our Father, but God is just wonderful. That God even strives with sinners like us. It just amazes me every time I think about it. It may not amaze you, but when I think of how awful I am in the fact that He still loves me and cares for me, He gives us an invitation. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, one of the greatest invitations of the Bible, He says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." That God wants to reason with us, Brother Merrill. It's amazing. God doesn't have to reason with us at all. He could say, and we'd be all done. But He says this, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Luke chapter 14, verse 23, God says to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "For God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, God gives us an invitation, if we could say it this way, to be on the team. He says, "I want you on my team. I want you on my team." Anybody remember those schoolyard days, amen? When you... we used to do, I don't know how you guys did it, but we threw the bat up in the air. Anybody do that? You throw the bat up in the air and you grab it, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, amen. Poke the guy in the eyes, and if you got the top, you got the first pick. And you get to pick this person and pick that person. And pick the fact that God says, I want you on my team. But then he says this. Not only is it an invitation to be on the team, but it's an invitation to gain rewards. Can you imagine such a thing, ladies and gentlemen? If all we ever got was heaven, we should praise God 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, that we didn't get hell. But not only does he, in his grace, give us an invitation to be on the team, but he gives us an invitation to celebrate with the team. Be part of this awards banquet. What a God we serve. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life. Praise God. Christian's award banquet, it's not only a time of invitation, but it's a time of completion, isn't it? It's a time of completion. I think about those marathon runners in the Olympics, and I enjoy the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics, just over the years to see them and to the different things that go on. I think of the patriotism that inspires. But one of the great scenes is in the large stadium when those marathon runners come running in. And they've been running a long time. I don't even like driving 26 miles, let alone running, amen. I think it's 26.2 or 26.3. It's a long ways. And you know, when they finish, you could see it on their face how pleased they are that they completed it. You know, an awards banquet is saying, hey, the season's been completed. We've got some awards to hand out. But you know, when this completion happens is when God raptures us home. It's going to be a wonderful day, folks. Not going to be any more pain and sickness, and sorrow, and parting. It's all going to be gone, amen. It's going to be a day of completion. The season is over. Now it's time for the awards. I was thinking about the song Brother Tharp sang for us last week. My redemption complete, I will sit at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. Amen. It's a time of completion. It's a time of invitation. The judgment seat of Christ, the Christian's awards banquet, is a time of reflection, isn't it? It's a time of reflection. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to the Lord. Ma'am, you'll not be able to look to your husband. Husband, you'll not be able to look to your wife. Children, you'll not be able to look to your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. You'll have to give an account for yourself. We look at this, and again, it certainly is frightful, but it's also joyful. You know, that person at the awards banquet who hit well all season, he gets rewarded, doesn't he? He gets rewarded. That person that maybe was a great fielder, they get rewarded with a gold glove. Maybe that pitcher, they get a pitching award, amen? And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that time of reflection, it's going to be certainly a frightful time, but also a joyful time. That's why it's not a waste when you get on your knees in the morning and pray. You say, well, a lot of my prayers don't get answered. I promise you, God is keeping track. Amen? It's a time of reflection. It's a time of completion. It's a time of invitation. It's a time, number four, of revelation. Everything will be revealed for what it really is. Whether you did it for the pat on the back, or you did it for the prince in his hands. Amen? Everything will be. I think about that at an awards banquet. Being at several is usually they run a slideshow. And you see and you say, oh, remember that play. Remember that stolen base that literally changed the tide of the game. Everything's going to be revealed. You're going to see that person getting saved, but you're going to see the little widow lady that was on her knees praying for it to happen. Amen. It's going to be revealed, amen. It's going to be a time of revelation, the Christian's awards banquet. time of revelation, a time of reflection, a time of completion, a time of invitation. I like this part. A time of recognition. A time of recognition. Folks, we're going to be rewarded. We are going to be rewarded. You don't have to play humble pie. It's okay to be humble, and we all know God gets all the glory. We're going to cast our crowns at His feet, but He's going to give us those crowns. He's going to give them to us. For some people, He may give one or two or five or four, and there perhaps could be more, amen. There's only five listed. It doesn't mean there's not more, amen. But we're going to be recognized. And you know what each one of us is going to deflect? We're going to say, the only reason I'm here is because of Him. The only reason I'm in heaven is because of His grace. It was You that gave me the grace. It was You that gave me the strength. It was You that gave me the boldness. It was You that gave me... fill in the blank, amen. God's going to get all the glory. But He is going to recognize us. Not only as His children, but as His obedient servants. What a blessing that is to think about. Remember that senior awards banquet. And there was a good friend of mine, and he was the MVP on the basketball team. And we were both MVPs on the soccer team. He scored all the goals, and I stopped all the goals. Amen. And then he didn't play baseball that summer, and I never forgave him for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bitter. Amen. But he took up golf, which is just the stupidest game I have ever heard in my entire life. And you know why I think it's stupid is because they don't cut the grass where I hit the ball, amen? But now he's literally a professional golfer. He's a golf instructor, amen? That's what he does for work. But I won the baseball MVP, but we were neck and neck for the Student Athlete Award, which is the one everybody wanted. It was the big one. It was the one they gave to the senior that had good grades. And I remember thinking, boy, I'd sure like to win that. But you know, I could sit there all day and say, I'd sure like to win that. But if I didn't do the work the 4 years prior, it sure wouldn't have mattered very much if I would have wanted it. You see, the Christian life is not delusions of grandeur. It's just serving Jesus every day. Every day reading your Bible. Every day, as you come across people, having a gospel track, amen? Every day, praying, getting along with God. Every day, trying to encourage somebody, maybe writing a note, maybe making a phone call, amen? Every day, serving. And one day, there's going to be recognition. It's not today. You may get a pat on the back today, you may not, but just know there's a day coming when God is going to recognize you. He's going to call your name. He's going to say, stand up and be recognized for serving Me. An amazing thought, isn't it? It's a time of recognition. It's a time of revelation. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of completion. It's a time of invitation. Number six. It's a time of presentation. Just the thought, and I don't know how it's going to take place, neither does anybody else, I can suppose, that we'll bow before Him, and He or somebody He designates will place those crowns upon our heads. Just the thought of that, ladies and gentlemen. That God would present us with rewards when all we did was obey Him. Oh, what a day that's going to be. A day, and He says right here, if any man's work survives, he shall be rewarded. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. God's going to present us with rewards for service. I remember what it was when my coaches presented me with that MVP award, presented me with that Scholar Athlete award. And I remember just the feeling of just welled up with accomplishment and gratitude for all the people that had helped me along. Amen. Amen. And by the way, none of us are self-made. Somebody invested in you, and somebody invested in them, and somebody invested in them, and on we could go. Lastly today, the Christian's Award Banquet is a time of invitation. It's a time of completion. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of revelation, recognition, presentation. And you know what? Lastly, go to Revelation chapter 4 with me. Revelation chapter 4 in these last two verses. Verse number 10 says, "And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Lastly, the Christian's awards banquet is going to be a time of celebration. Celebration. The season's over. The awards have been passed out. They've been given back. And now it's time to celebrate, for thou art worthy. You know, heaven, the unending song of heaven is worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Unworthy is Rich Zavodsky. But worthy is the Lamb. Unworthy are wretched sinners. But worthy is the Lamb. Unworthy are all the righteous works we could pile up. But worthy is the Lamb. Unworthy is that pool back there washing away sins, because it doesn't. But worthy is the Lamb who hath washed us from our sins in His own blood. Unworthy is my sin debt to enter into the gates of heaven. But worthy is the Lamb who forgave that sin debt. It's going to be a time of celebration. When I was a senior, we had our soccer team had been perennial losers. I mean, we were just always at the basement. And we began to win games. And it really became the talk of the town that we were winning games. It was amazing. You know, when you lose all the time and then you win, they're like, wow, this is big news. Amen. They finally won a game. Amen. And we kept winning and we kept winning. And by the end of the season, we were neck and neck with another team for the championship. And we ended up pulling ahead and winning it. And we stood before our entire school. And the newspaper reporters were there, and we're all just standing there and going through, and they began to talk about it, took our pictures, went through it all, and then you know what we had afterwards? We had a celebration because we had won a championship. Oh, heaven is going to be much, much more than that, winning a championship, amen. It's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We're on the winning team. Dr. Curtis Hudson, late in his life, resurrected a song called "I'm on the Winning Side." I'm on the winning side. No more out in sin will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. How about you today? Are you saved? Have you asked Christ to be your Savior? Are you on your way to heaven? Absolutely, know it for sure. If not, get that settled today. Lay that foundation and build thereupon. Well, how about you, Christian? Are you just content to be saved? Well, I'm saved, I know that. Listen, we're going to have to give an account one day. We're going to have to give an account one day. You say, oh, I'm young, I got plenty of years to serve the Lord. You don't know that. Well, I'm older, I've only got a few more years left. Listen. Don't be a used to Christian. I used to go soul winning. Come on, church. I used to serve. Now listen, we understand the older you get, there's some things you can't do, amen, physically, but everybody can be a witness. Everybody can share Christ. Everybody can serve Him. Everybody can pray. Everybody can read their Bible. Don't be a used to Christian. Well, I used to serve God, but you know, here's the question, really. Will you be ashamed when He comes of your service? The Bible says that some will be ashamed at His appearing. That old song goes, I'd wish I'd given Him more. There's a hymn called Must I Go and Empty Handed. It was written by a fellow named Charles Luther after hearing the Reverend A.G. Upham tell the story of a young man who was about to die after living only a month as a Christian. He had gotten saved and then gotten very, very sick. And he said, I'm going to meet the Lord empty handed. The song goes like this. Must I go and empty handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet. Not one day of service give Him, lay no trophy at His feet. Must I go and empty handed, must I meet the Savior so. Not one soul with which to greet Him, must I empty handed go. Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet Him empty handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. Hey, listen, let's get some awards at the Christians Awards Banquet. Come on, church, amen. Let's strive and say, you know what? I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to please Him. I'm going to obey Him. And if you'll do that with your life, He will reward you. You'll be at that Christians Awards Banquet. And certainly each one of us is going to have regrets for our Christian life and all God's people said. But I'll tell you what, God will reward us. The Christians Awards Banquet. Father, we love You.